Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. No traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio app, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and download the ebook, 40 Steps to Google, page one. So, first of all, I'm so excited about this episode because I have speaker, author, mentor, one of my political besties, mover and shaker, the founder of the National African Business Association, none other than my friend, Akindele Akiemi. How are you today?
Well, I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show today, and I'm just feeling great.
Well, I'm glad you're on the show, and I know you're very, very busy. So I appreciate you taking time out to come on to the show. So recently I saw that you were honored. You just received an award.
Yes.
Tell me about
that. Yeah, that award was given in Benin by one of our supporters in Nigeria. He hosted a conference over there, and he honored myself and another member of our team. This particular honor was for my contributions to bringing awareness about the importance of investing within the African diaspora between the United States and the continent of Africa. And so he's been following me for quite some time, and he really wanted to honor me. And that's what that award was about.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I know a lot of the people who listen to this show, they really are interested in just growing their business and taking it to the next level. So what advice would you have for people who want to do business in Africa? What would you tell them?
Well, the first thing about doing business in Africa is to understand the lay of the land. What kind of business you want to go into. You have to do your market research on what the needs are on the continent. Are you going into energy? Are you going into education? Are you going into technology? And even if it's technology, what type of technology? Are you going into streaming television or digital infrastructure or 5G? So you have to be able to narrow down your focus. And then the next thing you probably want to do is to partner with a chamber of commerce. The chamber of commerce on the continent are the gatekeepers in terms of how to navigate the process. That's if you want to do real small and medium sized enterprises to kind of get you moving. Now, some people who have larger projects, like say for instance, solar projects, or if you're dealing with petroleum, then most of the time, those folks go through what is called the U.S. Commercial Services. And through the U.S. Commercial Services, they're the ones that help you do the market research and the B2B at that level. to kind of plug you in. So the U.S. Commercial Services, along with some other U.S. agencies, they're the ones that kind of navigate most Fortune 500 projects, much larger projects. But small projects, like if you want to open a coffee shop or some type of bakery, or maybe you want to open a school, then I always recommend people that local chamber of commerce. I also want to just share with your viewers tonight. You mentioned National African Business Association. Well, mm-hmm. We were the National African Business Association once upon a time. It's actually Global African Business Association
today. You know what? It's so funny. I remember seeing GABA and I couldn't remember what it stood for. So I just went back to what I knew what it stood for. African Business Association. Right.
Yeah, it started as NABA. You're 100% right. We did start as NABA. But as we started getting more of a global footprint, we decided to change our name. That's about 3 years ago, to Global African Business Association.
Oh my goodness. This is why doing this interview is so important, so that I can catch up and everybody else can catch up, because what you guys are doing is awesome. I mean, I've watched you just, you know, do so many great things in Inkster, Michigan, and just other things. So another question I have for you is it important for entrepreneurs to be involved in the political process?
Absolutely. I think it's important. Even if you hate politics, you have to know, you have to get involved. And here's why. Because public policy could be favorable or adverse for your business. And so you have to, and I'm gonna give a prime example. It's a great question you asked, because I'm about to give you a phenomenal answer as to why entrepreneurs should be in the political space, even indirectly. But they, you know, if you're an entrepreneur that's doing financial services, well, it's important to know who sit on these committees at your state level. If you're investing in land, at the local level, you should know who's involved at your planning commission. See, the problem is the problem with many people. They think at the federal level, everything can stop. And really, 90% of your issues is local. So you need to understand what a master plan is, what a zoning ordinance is, which is probably the most important element in any local municipality in the United States of America. Because the zoning ordinance determines whether or not if your business is even going to exist in this particular neighborhood or in this particular area. And even your city charter, which is mostly I call it the constitution, the local constitution of a city. Your city charter spells out what the city can do legally and what it can't do legally. If you know those three things as an entrepreneur, you could pretty much run your own stuff. Now, this is important. This is a very important question also, because we just saw Joe Biden, not Joe Biden, but we saw Congress on Friday, mostly the House of Representatives. And they passed a infrastructure bill, and everybody is clapping. And we found out that the Congressional Black Caucus was heavily involved in this infrastructure bill. And come to find out, you know, they're going to increase Pell Grants for HBCUs and all this child tax credit and all these things. Now, one provision that's in that bill that most people don't know about is how they're going to start taxing people who use cryptocurrency if over $10,000. There's a provision that's stuck in there without people knowing. Now, if you are...
Wait. Stop. Run that back.
I'm going to say it one more time.
So if you own over,
if you invest $10,000 in cryptocurrency, they're going to tax you. The IRS is.
Wait, hold on. So they're not even looking at your entire portfolio. They're just looking at just that amount of.
And they stuck that in there.
That's BS.
And that's, I'm telling you, they stuck that inside that infrastructure bill. And it was an amendment.
This is why you need to listen to the SEO Queen show, because we're bringing you hot off the press, breaking news. I'd be working hard trying to get excellent people on this show. So continue, but I just had to
I'm saying they suck. Now, this was funny about this bill is black folks are cheering this bill on about Pell Grants and child tax credits and all the social spending, and nobody paid attention. Not one black person stood up and said, we can't pass this bill because of this amendment with crypto, with cryptocurrency. And so,
and you know why? I think most people in government right now, they don't know about cryptocurrency. And this is why
I think they know about it. And I'll tell you why they know about it, Z, is because on Capitol Hill, there's a Congressional Blockchain Caucus. Now, if you have a Congressional Blockchain Caucus, that means you know about cryptocurrency. It's about 30 members of this caucus, and two of them are black out of 30.
Then, I mean, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me to tax people.
When you have a $7 trillion industry like cryptocurrency, and it's under decentralized finance, and the banks like Wells Fargo and Bank of America as lobbying against this effort because decentralized finance is going to put those banks out of business. Of course, you would do anything and everything to assure that we slow the process down. That's pretty much what has happened. And so my concern is the number of black folks who look like you and I are clapping about an infrastructure bill, not understanding that their next generation of Gen Zs and beyond, and even millennials, are using cryptocurrency to try to achieve some level of wealth and some type of financial freedom to move to the next step. This is ludicrous. And so, and I have been speaking about it for the last 48 hours. These folks are playing the long game, and we continue to play the short game.
So let me understand this. So this infrastructure bill has made it through the House. When is it going to be up for the Senate to?
Well, it's already gone through the Senate. Voted on it in July.
It's already been approved. The whole thing.
They voted on it in July. They were waiting on everybody waiting on the House. The problem, the reason why the bill was so held up at the surface level with the House, and I say surface level because no one's talking about the crypto piece, is because progressives and moderates and Democrats were fighting each other. Mm-hmm. So, say for instance, my congresswoman, she didn't vote for the bill, not because of the crypto piece. She didn't vote for the bill because it wasn't a bigger price tag. That's why she didn't vote for it. I'm like, wow, okay, you're a congresswoman. You know, I'll leave it alone. But, you know, again, you know, we are electing third industrial revolution candidates and politicians to dictate our agenda. We're already in the fourth industrial revolution. And right. so the big problem and the disconnect.
We've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, we've been talking about that
for years. We need younger leadership.
Absolutely.
So people understand.
Right. And so you have, you need younger leaders, but you also need younger leaders that understand the future and not younger leaders who are just pulling the coattails of Bernie Sanders or some other old character. That's not innovation. That's just that's being a parrot for an older guy,
right?
Whose time has passed. And so we have a leadership
question to you. My question to you is, hold that thought, is what is the percentage tax on $10,000 and more in cryptocurrency?
I'm not sure. I have to look it up.
Okay. I have to look that up too.
Yeah, I have to research that. But to answer your question about entrepreneurs being involved in the political process, they have to be involved in the political process only because they're writing policies that can make or break you. And even if you don't run for a political office, that's your decision. You still need to know what the laws are on the books. That's important. You can't, if you don't know if you're into real estate and you have never studied the real estate policies at a local or state or federal levels, you're already behind the eight ball, because I guarantee you, people that don't look like you have already done this. So we have a lot of work to do.
Yes, it's true. It's true. I think that's a great example as to why entrepreneurs need to be involved in the political process, because things like that are definitely concerning. So, when you talk about, building wealth and community building, because I mean, wealth is you have relationship capital, you have actual, cash and assets. Like, what tips and strategies would you give? And also, what shortcomings do you see people making, bad decisions do you see people making right now that they should reconsider?
Well, first, the bad decision is if you and I tell folks this in Gabba all the time, if you're in the business of making money first, you're not going to make any money because your vision is jaded. What you have to do is understand the true meaning of entrepreneurship and wealth building. Everything started at a most mental and spiritual level before it manifests on the physical. When you're an entrepreneur is going to solve problems. And you solve the problem with the best product and service you provide for the individual or the group. In return, they're going to bless you with that money. You don't go into entrepreneurship thinking about money, and you don't go into entrepreneurship thinking about the lack of capacity building. And what I mean by that is we like to start a business and jump right into things without building capacity. After 6 months, when it doesn't work, you quit. But part of the problem was you never built capacity and you never paced yourself in terms of being patient with your product or your service to let it grow. You don't take the time to market your product. You don't take the time to market your service. You don't take the time to learn new techniques to market and better produce your services. And so we have to be careful of inserting a poverty mentality in entrepreneurship, because I see that a lot with folks who come in. They say they want to make money. They think they can do a couple of contracts or a couple of deals, and they think they're set. And that's not the case at all. The case is you have to be in the spirit of solution, being a solution king or a solution queen, in order for you to re return have a return on investment, which is financial or otherwise. That's very, very important, because I see a lot of young people making that mistake. Even people who come to me at work who ask me, I want to go into business. So why you want to go into business? Well, I want to go into business because I want to make money. I said, well, you might as well. Well, first of all, you don't go into business to make money. If you go into business to make money, you've already failed. Second, you don't need to go to a school per se to, learn business management, because that's really just pedagogy on how to be a better manager. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, there's plenty of reading materials for free. You can get off the internet, or you can go to your local Barnes and Noble or library to get this information
Absolutely.
so that you could build the strategies, because all a business school is going to do, it doesn't matter if you get an MBA or a BBA, all they're going to do is teach you the pedagogy of business, meaning that you're going to be a better manager. And it's important to be a manager, learn to be a manager, because you're learning as a manager, you're learning about time management. These are a lot of things that we lack: time management, i.e., opening and closing the store on time. If you say you're going to open at 11 o'clock, you need to open at 11 o'clock. Why do I have to wait till 11:15, 11:20 to open up your store when your competitor is open on time? I'm gonna go to your competitor. It's basic things like that that can make or break a business. And so we got to
Correct.
learn to build capacity. We have to learn the true fruits of the spiritual and mental aspects of entrepreneurship even before you make your first dollar.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think that's right on the money, because you have to solve a problem. And when you to your point about what business schools are teaching, a lot of the challenges and issues I've had to navigate, as a business owner with my BS in business from MIT, I was not taught how to deal with these scenarios in business school. I was taught on how to manage a bigger organization
Right.
where, you know, the roles were more specific and there was more Right. silos. But when you're in a smaller organization, which is, you know, the very essence of entrepreneurship, when you're, whether you're a solopreneur or just a small business enterprise, there's dimensions, multiple dimensions to every role. And that is not taught in business school.
No, it's not. No,
it's not taught. I feel like it's trial by fire sometimes, but it's all good. I love business. I love what I do. I love solving problems. That's one thing that, you know, I just love to do. So what advice would you give to entrepreneurs on how to best, you know, navigate these times? I mean, I see there's so much opportunity. You know, Ghana declared, you know, I think it was either last year or the year before is the year of return. There's so many things going on in Kenya, Nigeria, other places, telling people to come to Africa, let's do business, take a vacation. I mean, there's just so much going on. And so as an entrepreneur, how can you best take advantage of just all those things? I know you gave us some tips before. Do you have any additional ones?
Yeah, you know, when you go to Africa, you have to do your due diligence. Where are you going in Africa? Ghana did a marketing campaign in 2019. You mentioned the year of return, where they was asking African Americans to return to Africa, preferably Ghana, set up shop. We have one of our GABA ambassadors did just that. She left Georgia and living in Ghana right now. She took advantage of it, took her kids and everything, and took advantage of it. And she continued to flourish. It depends on where you go and what exactly are you trying to do. A lot of folks go to Rwanda. Rwanda, you know, has become very, very stable since the genocide over two decades ago. And so in Kigali, its capital is one of the cleanest cities in Africa on the continent. It's easy to set up a business in Rwanda. You can go to Kenya. If you're into the tech space, Kenya is your country. If you want to take a vacation, go to Zanzibar. And so there's just a matter, it's, you know, I always tell folks, you know, do your due diligence. Do you want to go to West Africa? Do you want to go to East Africa? Do you want to go to the Southern Africa, like Botswana or South Africa? Do you want to explore North Africa with Egypt? Egypt is booming. They're building so much infrastructure in Egypt. It's not funny. In fact, Egypt is actually building a new capital city on 4G. Period. It's going to be a smart city. And so it's so you're right. It's a lot going on. Do you want to go to, are you a person that wants to invest in countries that's that was been ravaged by civil war? Go to Sierra Leone for that. The president, I you know, saw the president in September in DC at a function I was at. And the thing he kept talking about is we got to position Sierra Leone in the fourth industrial revolution. He was there to recruit investors from the United States and to do business, whether it's real estate, hospitality, or the whole nine. And so there are vast opportunities. Don't let the fear stop you from your destiny.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because this goes back to propaganda. What misconceptions or what myths do African Americans have of Africa that they need to let go of?
Everybody in Africa is starving. Africa is a backwards continent. People don't speak good English in Africa. You know, the Africans think they're better than us. It's those kinds of myths that prevents us from achieving intergenerational wealth from a diaspora perspective. And I say that because it doesn't make any sense for a Black city, I'll use Detroit, for example, to file bankruptcy. How do you file bankruptcy when you are literally across the river from another country and you are sitting on the St. Lawrence Seaway, which is the Detroit River in the Great Lakes, that could connect to the continent to build resources and to build transcontinental wealth. But when we have those kinds of myths, we create the disconnect ourselves, because everybody goes to Africa to invest. For example, everybody is focused on China. What you're not focused on is Turkey. Turkey has 44 embassies on the continent of Africa. And they are
44 embassies?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And they are very public about infiltrating and impacting economic development in Africa. Turkey. So we're focusing on China on one end, who's been a player on the continent. But now you have Turkey. You have Japan. You still have the European Union in play. So everybody's going there to make money. Everybody's going there to get raw materials and resources. Even white folks in the United States have a strong presence on the continent. But when it comes to African Americans, we put the silo up. The silo is doing more damage than good as it pertains to linking the wealth between sub-Saharan Africa and the United States. And with us being in the fourth industrial revolution and the advent of e-commerce, we need to take advantage of that space.
So my next question to you is, why did you start GABA? And how can African-American entrepreneurs in the United States connect with GABA to help facilitate, you know, entrepreneurship and trade and investment in Africa?
Well, myself and my co-pilot, co-founder, we started GABA, really was four people. A lot of folks think it's just two of us. It's actually four that started GABA. It's two Nigerians, two Gambians. And we started it because I noticed living in Houston, Texas, and, you know, I've been involved with chamber of commerce and business associations in the past. Well, a lot of these organizations, you know, they get up and they want to, they fundraise and do trade missions and have these dinners, you know, hard chicken and hard green beans and stale water. And you listen to a speaker. And I'm not knocking nobody for that. But the question I always asked myself was, where is the connection of impact as it pertains to a local community? And I didn't see that, especially in the African community. You have all these African cultural groups and nobody owned a museum. Nobody owned a house with artifacts. Nobody had any type of cultural output. And so we launched GABA because what we wanted to do is test our resources and connect our resources to a local municipality. We didn't want to start in Detroit. We didn't want to start in Highland Park. We chose Inkster because Inkster was close to the airport. It's close to two airports. You have DTW, which is the main airport everybody flying to in Romulus. And then you have Willow Run Airport, which is 20 minutes down the road, headed towards Ann Arbor, one of the largest cargo airports in North America that's totally underutilized. So we figured strategically we could set up an Inkster. I've already worked in Inkster prior to us even launching. And so Inkster, you know, you're looking at a city, 24,000 residents, 6 square miles, 36% of the city is in poverty. You have a 14% unemployment rate. There's no economy in Inkster. There's no bank. The bank left, you know, in Inkster. So it's an opportunity for us to roll up our sleeves and let the world know this city exists. And we've been marketing that city for quite some time to let people know that you can invest here. You go to Detroit, you're going to be a number. And what I mean by being a number, you're going to be fighting people like Dan Gilbert and the rest of those guys. But an Inkster, you could be king of the hill or queen of the hill if you play your cards right. So we started GABA because we understood there was a need for that. Also, as a business support and business education network, we felt that it was very, very important to educate people why Africa is relevant in the 21st century. So, you know, African-Americans, we have African-Americans on our team who's been to the continent multiple times. They understand the mission of GABA. And we encourage people, just go to our website at gabanetwork.org and you can find more information about how to get involved. You know, my thing is, as a president and CEO, this is not about me. This is about our future. If you have children, it's about reshaping the reality for our children and our future generations. So it has nothing to do with me. All I do is facilitate.
Can you give us the website one more time?
Oh yeah, GABA Network, GABANETWORK.org. GABANetwork.org. You can go online, and you know, if you're interested, shoot us a note. Somebody's going to respond to you, and we just go from there.
Is this? Can you see my screen?
I can.
Wait, hold on. I'll just make sure I'm on the right site.
Yeah, that looked like us.
Oh, yeah, that's you right there. Oh wow, this is awesome.
So let me for your audience, just quit real quickly. 80% of GABA are women, 20% men, 54% of them are millennials, and another 20.
I know that face.
You know that face?
Yes. Her name starts with a B. She's a digital marketer. I remember. Yeah.
Her name is Brittany Abilu.
Thank you, Brittany. I remember the name started with a B.
Today is Brittany's birthday, actually.
Well, tell her I said hello and happy birthday.
I sure will. She's one of the co-founders and chief marketing officers for Bomalink. Bomalink is her and Shola Salako, who's standing in the back. They're founders of Bomalink. They're kind of like the African version of LinkedIn. And so,
okay.
So Bomalink comes through our network, goes through our network. We promote Bomalink, you know, as an alternative for, you know, job searching, job matches. You know, you want to post resumes, you want to post information.
And so, how do you spell that website?
Thing, it's almost like that. And Bomalink is under our network. So
you guys definitely have to get involved with GABA. And I'm just so happy that we finally made this interview happen. Every time I talk to you, you're always doing some amazing things that, you know, I really wanted people to know about. And the Global African Business Association is an incredible resource. It's an incredible resource, and you guys definitely want to, you know, take advantage of it.
Thank you.
So, Akindele, do you have any other thoughts you would like to leave with the audience? Because we covered a lot of ground.
Well, I just want to say this. Time's of the essence. I think it's imperative that your audience understand about the importance of transformation. And the importance of transformation start at the local level within your city. It's nice for us to go to Capitol Hill and fuss and complain. But, you know, I was told by civil rights leaders visiting D.C. that the federal government moves very slow. And I knew that just from the days of me lobbying on Capitol Hill on educational projects, that right. Government moves very slow, that you're better off lobbying your city council members, which is true. If you want some change to occur, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a small business owner, whether you're into e-commerce or otherwise, go talk to your planning commissioners. Go talk to your city council people. Go talk to your mayor, because they're the ones that can make it happen a lot faster. Cities, not federal governments, are going to be the catalyst of change within this decade. That's a global fact. And these are the reasons why countries like Egypt, and you find Dubai positioning itself within the fourth mm-hmm. industrial revolution, especially with what's going on with the Dubai Expo 2020 that's going on right now. This cities are going to play a major, major role. And entrepreneurs can play that and has a big, big role in reshaping and direction of a city. So I encourage those who are listening to this this broadcast tonight to engage yourself, understand business, government, and technology. That's the formula we use in GABA, is business, government, and technology. We cover those three areas pretty well to penetrate those markets so that we can have a voice at the table, because we feel that that's very, very important for us to be not just domestic, but global players as well. I'll leave those words right there.
Well, thank you so much. I don't see anything else to add to it, but
thank you so much, Kendall.
It's always a pleasure. You always are just a treasure trove of great insight, wisdom, and information. And I applaud you for being a leader in starting this movement and creating this organization as a great resource. And I'm sure the SEO Queen will be joining soon. And I'll be encouraging other businesses to join as well. So
I appreciate you
so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Get visibility like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.